Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Everyone likes poodles, right? we can't say that for women.
Yeah. Spanish bottles like you would get it. 100%.
Yeah. Thanks, Hannah.
Wait, where's my finger?
It's a horrible example of horrible. Isn't it? Where's my finger?
Where's my finger?
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I am delighted to introduce our guest for this episode, the fantastic writer-performer, Margaret Craybonsby!
Hi!
Hello.
I like the applause.
That's why we do this.
That's why I do this, just for the applause. I get none at home.
So, going to kick this off now, Margaret. Can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I feel like I'm sort of constantly a victim of low-level crime. But I don't know about you, like the... Because I've had some quite big... Like I was scammed out of £500 once, and that was obviously not great. But weirdly, the ones that... I don't know about you, but I feel really ashamed about like some of the crimes. There was a guy who I thought was chatting me up, and he was just stealing my phone.
Oh, no.
So shameful. But actually, I heard a friend of mine who... I was asking about bad chat up lines on Facebook, and she said that she'd had a guy had struck up conversation late at night walking through Edinburgh, and she was, you know, chatting to him, and then he suddenly handed her her wallet and said, "Oh, look, I stole this, but you're so nice. I'm going to give it back."
Oh, my God.
And then asked her out.
What?
She was like, "But that's you stole
such
my
Darren
wallet."
Darren Brown move. Oh, my God. He's with her on so many levels.
Yeah, and the
that
confidence.
That would be a toxic
the confidence of then. Yeah, the confidence of then saying.
Did he get
yeah,
a,
on,
a,
and
a
now they're
number?
Married with three children.
And she doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
so...
Oh, that's disturbing. Yeah, that's like negging, but like crime.
Crime negging.
Crime negging.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
It's that's a horrible feeling though when you've fallen for something. Yes. I know what you mean. You're just like, you're beating yourself up. And yeah. Just
like also that vulnerability being taken advantage of. There's so much.
And thinking that you were hot for a moment.
That's the worst thing. That's to have my hotness taken away from me.
No, the crime of self-belief. To have your...
Not even a hot victim, guys.
No, to have your hotness used against you.
Hey,
because you're right.
Reframe. Good reframe.
But do you think that it was that he learned to pick pockets just so he could use that line, or do you think he was a pickpocket that...
It's a real chicken
that
and
line
egg.
Must not work.
I mean, when would it must work?
No, there'll be some woman that day that's like, desperate. Yeah. Like,
oh my God, anyone who's desperate to change a man, like, what a way to kick him. Yeah.
Also,
you know,
he
used to rob people, but look at him now. He's a successful lawyer.
There'll be a certain type of person that'd be like, oh, look, he was going to steal my wallet, and because I'm awesome, he didn't. And then that will be enough of a compliment that they'll be like, yeah, what? Let's do a date. And then, like, suddenly he's got your bank account.
Yeah, I have a horrible feeling that if that had happened to me at the wrong time in my life, and the guy was hot enough, I would have been like, okay.
Exactly.
Just the one date, and I'll only sleep with you the once.
Yeah.
Meet
it's
cute.
The wrong time. Exactly.
And then again in the morning.
Yeah.
No, I would never get over that.
I remember once a guy in a bar, his chat up line was the first thing he said was, tell me about your father. I know, right?
But the new creepy
thing is, though, he's expecting daddy issues. And I was like, well, he likes Nottingham Forest. He likes to garden. Like, I have a great relationship with
him. He's a really great guy.
You bored him into regretting that question. Yeah.
He was like, that's my favourite subject.
And then in 1987, he did this. And then,
and you will never live up to him.
Yeah, that was a stranger's opening line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's but look at the vulnerable person that he's aiming that at. Like, that's dark.
Wait, I was a legend.
I really like that. Look at the vulnerable.
He all turned
to Hannah.
Look at the stupid bitch that he was saying that to.
Katie,
not you.
You have a point.
Not you. He's doing that hoping someone's got daddy issues and is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Did he have like a pipe and beard and slippers?
It was my dad. He just wanted to know me. No, it was.
he wanted to see what you say behind his back.
Yeah. Oh, he's got daughter issues. That's never a thing, is it? Daughter issues isn't a fucking thing.
I know,
thing.
And it should be.
Because
loads of men have it.
You just meant, was he dressed like a dad?
Yeah.
I thought you meant, was he dressed like Freud?
Like,
and I'm like,
fetish.
That's perfect.
And weirdly, like, you described my dad exactly.
Oh, really?
He's like, yeah, he's like this beardy.
I love the idea of dressing as Freud to pull people off.
I mean, you could say anything.
Yeah, nothing is off limits. I kind of want to hear about the £500 scam, but no. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's quite boring. It was a website. I was booking a flat for Edinburgh.
Oh.
Swanky website. Lovely flat.
Oh.
Put £500 deposit, and then the website and the money just disappeared.
Did you ever get back?
Oh my God. No. You know that was a comedian too, who is covering his own costs.
Yeah, I mean, now that's what I do when I do it.
It's the only way to make a profit.
They did. It was weird though, because they did, like, we got an email back saying this property is no longer available. And I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. And so I emailed back.
Yeah.
They had my money back.
Yeah.
They had a phone. They had a bank account.
Boy.
And it was one of those things that even now, when I'm booking things through websites, I still don't really know how to check these things. I end up saying, and are you real? To people. And like, there isn't really
you know. It's true.
It was like when I was looking around flats, I remember saying, and structurally? That was my question. I remember the guy just going, yeah, it's fine.
That's like, legit.
It's got a structure.
Okay. It's got a structure. It's standing up. And I was like, I don't have any. Who's going to go, oh, you got me. That's made of cardboard.
You know. Yeah.
But it's true. When we booked our accommodation for Edinburgh, you did
it's
it. Taylor was in control of it, which is great.
I would trust Taylor.
But that's what I did. But also.
But you were wrong.
I mean, it worked out. But like, I looked at the website and I was like, I mean, how do you know if it's true? Yeah. Like, particularly with things like Edinburgh, where there's so many people panic buying.
Yeah.
And I just thought, gosh, do you know what? Like, such a good scam.
Yeah. And it would just be on Taylor, which is great. So I, just, like, I was like, we get to Edinburgh, nowhere to stay. That is Taylor's fault.
It worked out this time.
Smashed it.
Did,
it was amazing.
Did you go to the police? Did the police have anything to say?
We did go to the police, yeah. Cyber police. Not very...
Not helpful.
No, not really.
No.
I've never... That's one of the only times I have bothered with the with the police.
That's annoying because it feels like that would be easy to track down because you just find
IP address.
They just need like their nephew that's good at IT to help them, and then they can solve that crime.
Yeah, right.
Police we don't have the.
It's good.
We don't have the resources.
Anthony, can you come in? It's happened again. Well, we gotta ask you, what would you say to the perp and perps? Both perps separately.
Perp pie.
Yes.
That's delicious. Like butterflies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pupae. No, that's isn't it? What would I say?
Yes, if you had the perp in the room, like the evil chat up guy.
Okay, evil chat up guy.
And the scam website person.
Do you know, this is terrible that this is what's come into my head, because this is a bit like, how's your dad? No, what was it? It wasn't how's your dad.
Tell me about your father.
I hope your mother's proud of you.
Ooh,
something like that.
Ooh, that's a good burn.
But I immediately go to them saying, my mother's dead. You know, and they're like, oh, well, now I'm in the wrong again.
You know what?
How's this happened?
You don't have to hear that bit. We end it with you winning, yeah.
Well, surely, if they're in the room with me, I should try and...
No, they don't get to talk. It's your
turn
to talk.
No, but if they're, I should try and imprison them.
Oh, well, yeah.
Just let them go.
Oh, you can do that too.
Can I?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right, life imprisonment then. Too far?
He can't upset any more women.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, and the same for the website?
Yeah, same for the website. Yeah, just life in prison. Maybe I should do prison visits.
You should be a judge. Just like prison, I think.
Terrible, like, terrible judge.
Sarcastically say, I hope your mother's proud. Goodbye forever.
Yeah. I'm really, really thinking about that.
Oh my God, could you imagine just before you put someone in prison, if that was the thing you had to say, I hope your mother's proud.
Yeah.
Your mother's proud.
Great.
Let's stop people doing crime because they don't want to think about that.
No.
I think we've solved crime.
Yes. Well done.
Yay.
Cheers.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
We are now going to move on to the true crime section of the podcast. I'm going to have a quick sip.
Gulp. That is some good sound effect work.
Thank you.
Chardonnay.
Now, this case has a twist, so look out for that. Okay. I'm not going to give too much
else. Look out for that.
Katie is an amazing hype woman.
So now I'm going to start. Also, this case has a little bit of showbiz, a little bit of razzle-dazzle for you guys. I'm going to start the story at the point where a lawsuit gets filed. Specifically, when a woman called Helen Kane filed a $250,000 lawsuit against a man called Max Flesher. I may not be pronouncing his name correctly. Flesher?
Is there an I?
F-L-E-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Flesher. Yes, this
Fleischer.
Is American, isn't it?
It's American.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Yes.
Yes!
I win. Detective Margaret on the case.
That'll be the last time I get anything
funny. You sneaky detective, you.
Yeah. Well done,
have
detective.
Have you got your nephew here somewhere?
Just for the IT department.
So, Max Fleischer of the Paramount Publix Corporation.
Oh, Paramount.
Uh-huh. So, question, what year is this?
Helen Kane, and she's filing, how much money is it?
$250,000.
Well, I mean, the fact that you said dollars should have alerted us to the fact
I mean,
that
this
American.
Is true, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's got to be like showbiz years, but also it's called the Paramount Public.
Yes. Publix with an X on the end.
This just feels 20s to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lovely guess. Yes. Any...
I was going to say 50s, but now you say 20s, sounds like it's...
It is okay. So much money, though, that I'm like, could it have been that much in the 20s?
Yeah, how much? Did that much money exist?
That's like a
20?
Billion. That was like the GDP of the whole US.
Hannah?
I mean, I think I like the logic. I think, yeah, 1920s.
Okay. It is 1932.
Ooh, okay.
So pretty good.
All right.
So Hitler's just about to come to power.
Yes.
Is that relevant? Great time. Good time.
It's a great time to sue.
We're not going
to
be dwelling mainly on that.
Do you see, Margaret just never stops mentioning Hitler. Like, I don't know.
We've had to edit it out at every turn already. I was scammed out of £500 like Hitler.
Like Hitler would have been.
Like Hitler would do.
I'm so Hitler. That's my catchphrase. I'm not so Hitler, can I just say? I'm really not at all.
This is the whisper campaign. Anyway, right. So, question. What do you think this lawsuit is about?
So, it's Razzle Dazzle.
Yes.
It's American studios in 1932.
Yes.
It's a woman against a man?
It is.
No.
Yeah, Helen Kane is suing Max Fleischer.
Yeah, so it's a woman suing a man.
And the corporation.
I don't know, but I already like her and she's so brave. Yes. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is, are we on her side?
Oh, always. We just did one about a murderess and we were all on her side, weren't we? So absolutely, I think we have to be on her side.
I don't want to give too much away. Don't get too behind her.
Oh, okay.
But get behind her. Shut up, Katie. Right.
I mean, to be fair, we know very little about her. But maybe
did they not pay her for a great project?
Great guess.
Were the talkies in by now?
Yes. I think it must have been. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So if it was Paramount, maybe that means movies. Mm-hmm. So maybe she was sacked from a movie based on something she didn't do.
Interesting.
She didn't show her boobies. No, but then you would definitely be on her side.
Yeah.
And Kate's on her side.
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you've really led us into this.
In some ways, I'm
is this the
bad
twist?
Detective.
The twist is that Kate is a misogynist. Good twist.
I knew it.
I don't want those bitches earning money. No, okay.
So many clues over the past year.
Yes, can we pick up on
you? You guys are all pretty close, actually. This is... The lawsuit is about an infringement. It's an infringement lawsuit accusing Max Fleischer of the deliberate caricature that produced unfair competition, exploiting Helen Kane's personality and image.
Pretend boobies?
In a way, actually.
Yeah,
I
would love to have Photoshop of the 30s.
Detective Craven Smith is onto something. What he did was, so he's copied her likeness. More specifically, he's created a cartoon character.
Yes.
Now, would anybody like to guess this cartoon
Betty
character?
Boop.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
Betty Boop, more like.
Yeah. Right? I mean, literally the only cartoon character of that era that I know. Yeah. So it was going to be that or nothing.
I had clues ready. Congratulations.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay, it's Betty Boop.
So did she have a really big face?
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay.
Big face and big tits.
We're going to get to this.
Okay.
You saw the money with
Yes, I knew. It's always, isn't it always?
Oh, boops. I can really see her. And she'd go, boop, boop, be doo, boo.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Now,
she was very empowered.
It was super cute.
She was an in-control character.
For the time, in a way. Right. This case is the trial of who inspired the invention of Betty Boop.
Okay.
So we have Helen Kane accusing theft.
And Helen Kane was a movie star. She was. Okay. People knew who she was.
Yes.
And
yes.
She had a really big face.
So, just to give you a little bit more information about Helen Kane, she was an American singer and actress. She was born in the Bronx in 1904. Her parents were immigrants. She had an Irish mother and a German father. They were not rich. By the age of 15, she was professionally on stage touring with the Marx Brothers in On the Balcony. Not too shabby for little Helen Kane.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
She spent the 20s singing and dancing vaudeville in a troupe called the All Jazz Review, and then she got her big break to do some Broadway. Now,
why do you say it like that?
Well, because her big break is integral to this story.
Ooh.
It came in 1928.
Taylor's just going to say Taylor, that. Nothing else.
Stop jumping ahead.
Can we cut to a commercial with that?
So
that's your new jingle.
In 1928, she appeared in a musical on Broadway called A Night in Spain at New York's Paramount Theatre in Times Square. So she did something at her very first performance of this show, which proved to be her career's launching point. So, question, what was it?
Was it that phrase?
Yes. Kind of, but yes. So basically... she was singing a song called That's My Weakness Now when she interpolated scat lyrics.
Was it about gluten? It's more of an intolerance. It didn't really work. But
she interpolated the scat lyrics Boop Boop A Doop. Done better by Taylor than me with my English repression.
Boop Boop Be Doop. Yours sincerely, Boop Boop Be Doop Esquire.
Oh my god.
this really resonated with the flapper culture of the time, and 4 days later Helen Kane's name went up in lights.
Ooh.
So this is important. I cannot emphasize enough how amazing a revelation that was.
I'm just going to booby doo.
Well, yeah,
very
because
sexy
well,
but it's
we have to have a competition here, guys.
It's the scat, it's the jazz, it's like this cultural phenomenon. It was basically right. Like when, because it was coming, it was bubbling up from the underground of the jazz and everything.
Right.
And it was like when everyone first saw the moonwalk, like it blew their minds. Okay. It was a cultural phenomenon, bringing this to a large, more mainstream audience. So people went absolutely nuts for it. So that's, because obviously to us it's like... Okay, but like it was so huge.
I love this. I had no idea there was a backstory of this character.
No.
Just you wait.
It's like flossing or something.
Yeah.
To translate it
actually,
to the modern audience.
Yes. And even,
I took that literally at first. I'm like, yes, it is.
You're very kind. Humouring
yes,
me.
Removing bacteria from one's teeth. Yes.
You're even more correct. By saying that. And anyway, right. Now, so Helen's off. She's a hit. She got offered movie films. She did all Hollywood and stuff. Her most famous song was I Wanna Be Loved By You.
I wanna be loved by you.
That's the one.
Slightly better. Slightly better. You're improving.
Across the episode. Oh my god. This,
yeah, by the end.
I'm gonna do such a sexy one at the end. You wait. Tune in, listener.
So that was in the musical film Good Boy. And then she went back to Broadway at the Palace as a headliner where she made big bucks. She made $5,000 a week.
Wow. Holy
which
shit.
Is the equivalent of $74,000 today.
Fucking hell, wow. She's like a footballer.
Yeah, not too shabby. Not too shabby for Helen Kane. So, now the... So
now I have David Beckham doing boop boop be
doop.
Boop be doop.
The inception of the cartoon is kind of insulting. In 1932, it became a human, but it first started in 1930 in another incarnation.
Oh,
question.
God.
Hitler. No, Hitler was human.
Yeah. True story, guys. Hitler was human. That is true crime. Right, yeah. Anyway. Now, question. What form was the Betty Boop cartoon in before it was a sexy human lady?
If it's a dog, I'm going to be very upset.
It is a dog.
It's a dog.
I was assuming cat. Why are you particularly upset by the dog thing?
Just because it's like making a woman a dog. Yeah, the idea of calling women dogs. It's like, well, what's the most degrading?
Let's try this. It's just for a bit of fun.
You see, I think that's sort of lovely. Yeah, I kind of think that's
adorable.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love an anthropomorphic poodle? I mean,
was it a poodle?
Yes.
Wow.
And I love dogs.
Yeah.
But I agree with Taylor. No one comes out of that well.
Mm.
Yeah. So in 1930, Fleischer Studios animator Grim Natwick introduced what was alleged.
Grim Natwick. Natwick?
His name is Grim Natwick.
Okay.
Unless my sources have lied to me.
That can't be true.
Names have gotten so lame since all these cases. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, Flynn McTurtledurtle.
Just so I can much see better. That as a Twitter handle, though. Grim, yeah. Grim Natwick.
Yeah, I don't know what it's short for.
Gatwick. No, that's how, it's long for Gatwick.
I know, I was just about to say, like, I always fly out of Grim Natwick. The parking's cheaper.
He introduced what was alleged to be a caricature of Helen with droopy dog ears and a squeaky singing voice in the Talkatoon's cartoon Dizzy Dishes. Betty Boop, as the character was later dubbed, soon became popular and the star of her own cartoons. In 1932, Betty Boop was changed into a human and the long dog ears becoming hoop earrings.
Oh, so, my God!
So, a bit of glam.
That's mad, though, isn't it? That they're like, wait, are people more attracted to a woman than a job? Like,
that can't be right.
Here's what we know. Everyone likes poodles, right? We can't say that for women.
But you say
so
that.
So we're going to start it out as a poodle. We're going to float the poodle.
Yeah, a little test. Super.
And then let it morph. It's going to grow breasts.
Yeah. But like...
So I put this thing on Facebook recently of... Your first crushes, and honestly, the number of people who fancied
cartoons.
The Disney, specifically the
Is
Disney
the
Robin Hood,
Ooh.
Yeah, Robin Hood and Marion.
Holy shit! So I've just found this out,
and it does seem like, well, Taylor, you fancied the car from.
That was a very private conversation.
Okay, to be clear, it was Knight Rider, but yeah, it was the whole. It was the whole package. Like I needed the car to be part of the fantasy. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to have sex with the car, Hannah. Yeah. I just wanted to be in the car with.
But weirdly, since I've said that, a few people have said, "No, I'm with her." Yeah, no, hot. Yeah. People are weird. People fancy cars.
Hannah,
fancy,
it drove into a truck while they were both moving, and it was so sexual. Yeah. Like, it was like,
you're
I was
right,
like, I don't even know
sexual.
Why. Yeah, but
at least you are the truck. Like, that's not
that is super hot.
Have some confidence.
Funny enough, people used to call me Tractor Taylor, so it kind of makes sense.
But I think that makes sense about sort of being, if you're like, what's your first crush? The first thing you're sort of exposed to often is cartoons. So it kind of makes sense.
Interesting. Legit though, so How to Train Your Dragon 3, when they show Hiccup grown up and he's got kids and he has a beard and he's got like some braid, like, oh my God. I went with my daughter and I was like, I've blood flowing to places that shouldn't. Like, it was confronting.
Wow.
He's so hot. I'm like,
I fancied
Spanish
Buzz Lightyear.
Spanish?
Yeah, it was something about that. The moves.
Oh, holiday buzz.
The accent he did some, flamenco or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Spanish Buzz Lightyear would get it. 100%. Yeah.
Thanks, Hannah.
I'm loving this. I suppose I should get back to the case.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no, but it is related, isn't it?
Because
about Betty Boop being sexy? Or not? Like, why did she morph from the dog?
I mean, I do feel like dog to human is kind of like Tinder before and after. Like, reality versus the picture. But high five, guys. Come on.
No, I'm with you.
So yeah, that's a weird choice. But I mean, who fucking knows?
I really want to see the original cartoon because you guys were immediately like, dog, awful. And I'm sure that you're right. But there's part of me that's like, oh, dogs are sort of cuter than humans, aren't they? But you're right that I'm sure it was really demeaning. Okay, this is not, you know, this is loaded.
Doesn't feel like it's a compliment.
No, sure.
But who, I mean...
What a wild world.
Okay, so now, as we know, in 1932, Helen filed this lawsuit, infringement against Paramount for unfair competition and exploitation of her personality and image.
Unfair competition?
Well, yeah, because...
She's competing with the cartoon dog.
Yeah, like, just like once they've got the cartoon,
they don't need her.
Kind of
oh my God, it's
what
like
was
AI.
About
yeah.
Her,
ooh,
kind
yeah.
Of
ooh, that's
thing.
Interesting.
So on April the 19th, Fleischer testified that Betty Boop was purely a product of the imagination of himself and, was detailed by the members of his staff. So question, did the judge buy that?
Well, he's a man in the 30s saying it. Like, oh no, I just came up with it. And of course the judge was a man in the 30s.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course he bought it.
Okay. Great answer. Any advance on that?
Could you ask the question again?
Taylor's gone cross-eyed.
I'm not even drunk on this episode, but I can't follow a story. Okay. I'm sorry.
So Paramount guy says, yeah. No, it's coincidence, purely the product of my imagination, fleshed out by my staff. Did the judge buy that explanation?
Oh, gosh. Depends how honest this judge is. Is he being like paid by Paramount on the side? Is he a
great question?
No.
Yeah, because Paramount are pretty powerful,
right?
Be illustrative,
and I feel like they're gonna have judges on their side.
Could be
lining the
yeah. Pockets. I mean, I think that Hannah's argument about the maleness, yeah, the maleness of it is because actually she's so successful that that's got to be galling for everyone. She's earning far too much money off her own talent. How dare she?
Yeah. She don't need no man.
Why would she need money?
Yeah. Don't be selfish. Yeah. Share your image. Why does it have to belong to you?
Very excellent points, you guys. Now, the judge did not buy this.
Hooray!
At this point. Before his death, cartoonist Grim Natwick, Grim Reaper Natwick, no, right. I didn't even write that. I ad-libbed that in the moment and I should not have done so.
It would have been worse if you'd written it down.
It really would have.
It was good.
I really like, can you tell us everything you ad-lib, Katie? At the end of every sentence.
Oh, yeah.
I did not ad-lib that. I did ad-lib that, just so we know.
Sometimes I ad-lib my ad-libs.
I'm crazy.
So this Grim guy, where's my finger?
That is a great name.
Katie, was that an ad lib? Was that written?
You've had too much to drink. Where's my finger? Oh god! Oh, there it is.
You sound like a teen drama. Yeah, like, what a teen.
You guys
comedy.
Need badges with "Where's my finger?" On.
Wait, where's my finger?
I meant everyone's saying it.
I meant on the page.
Pretty much the flossing. Oh,
yeah. And you know what? It was my thumb that was holding my.
That was a twist, you guys.
Oh yeah, the twist.
Which bit of Kate's anatomy?
Twist is coming still.
Ooh, the
okay,
twist is coming.
So, this cartoonist Grim guy,
the twist is she was a dog.
He says, yes.
Okay.
It's a really Disney twist. He says that he did design a young girl based on a photo of Helen Kane.
Oh,
that's pretty damning.
Grim boy.
Yeah, Grim. Yeah, dying Grim boy says.
Yeah.
There is other evidence that these Paramount people deliberately copied Kane. For example, singers who provided the voice for Betty Boop in the cartoon, including Margie Hines, Mae Quinstell, Bonnie Poe, Little Ann Little, and Kate Wright.
Little Ann Little. That's a terrible nickname.
At this point, I'm just going to go with
it.
They had all been discovered in a 1929 Paramount contest. Question, what was this contest?
Find the new Helen Kane.
Correct.
Yay!
Yeah.
Well done.
There you go.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
So that's pretty damning.
Yeah, and they were all found through that, and they were all used.
And then they used their voices.
That's, any lawyers
that's
got to
pretty
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty. I mean, my boyfriend's doing one at the moment called "Find the New Hannah George." That's weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
It feels like something I should be worried about.
What does he make them do?
Just kind of like just be hilarious and adorable. It turns out.
Yeah. Talk about how good their dad is.
Yeah. Oh god, she's such a bore.
I heard she's getting married.
Whoa!
All right.
Okay, so
it's all part of the cause, Hannah. Come on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, at this point, the defense changes tact.
Ooh. That Chardonnay is delicious.
It's so nice.
Wow. Yeah. And I don't even like Chardonnay. Mm. So there you go. What? All right. We're not being paid to talk about it. No. So won't even tell you what it is. Chateau Souverain.
So twist happens now.
I'm so excited.
Okay.
I'm glad you told us there was a twist. It makes it more exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You're good storyteller, Katie.
It's because I don't trust my storytelling. I had to flag up. If this bit's boring, something good's going to happen.
Oh my God, it's like at the beginning of a film where they're like, look, this is the most exciting point of the film. We're going to show you it at the beginning so you know it's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always think, have confidence in your story.
Yeah. Thank you, Hannah. Okay.
No, she's told you off.
So you did like the heads up.
I didn't mean you.
I am drunk.
I did like the heads up, though.
I love the heads up. I love the heads up.
It's been a while. Female workplace.
Yeah, see, it's only official when they do it, but they keep not doing it, so I've been doing it, but I don't do it right.
Which is not the ethos of the female
workplace. You're really...
to victimise Katie.
No, also, it's me victimising myself. How would you... Oh, right, let's move on. Right. Okay, so this is a twist.
Where's my finger?
Wait, where's my finger? So, somebody now in the courtroom stands up and says, no, but you just stole it all off baby Esther anyway.
Shut up.
Twist.
That's a good twist.
It's a good twist.
Helen is the real thief. Is her name Helen?
Yeah.
Mm. Helen is the real thief here?
Yes. Okay.
Is she?
Well.
Yeah. Do we have
I don't want to give the ending away.
No, let's
okay.
Do
okay.
I have actual chills.
Yeah. Okay. So, someone goes, you start off baby Esther. Everyone else in the courtroom gasps, just like you guys did. Someone probably faints. I'm paraphrasing the
court. Yeah. I think there was a lot of fainting in the courtroom.
I fainted back then. Yeah. No AC.
Can I say, literally, the second you said someone stood up in the court, I was like,
right?
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It was Father Christmas.
I'm sorry, no, it wasn't.
It was Hitler?
Who else stands up? Hitler, yeah.
Look, you who know else stands up in we courtrooms? Don't know who it was.
Oh, also, okay. So someone just said...
I've invented someone. That's the order it happened in. Come on, guys, this is Hollywood. Now, so someone else goes, but who is baby Esther? Because that's convenient for me for the exposition. And then I will now tell you guys who baby Esther is. So yes, it's please. Good that person asked that question. Right. So baby Esther was a cabaret and Harlem jazz singer and hidden figure who has come to light in more recent years. Her full name was Esther Lee Jones. Now, baby Esther was her stage name. So she's an African-American singer and entertainer. In the late 1920s, she was regularly performing at the Cotton Club in Harlem. And she was known for her quote unquote baby singing style.
Right.
Oh my God. So, yes.
Right, so we are no longer Team Helen.
No.
It
was Helen Kane.
Is baby Esther. I mean, she's not dead or anything at this stage, is she?
Well, yes. Oh. But also, we don't know. I will get to this.
Okay.
Oh my God. White female victim. I'm so mad at her now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we should be mad at her. So, question. How old do you think baby Esther is in the late roaring 20s?
Oh.
Oh, well, maybe she's been around for a while. So maybe sort of like, maybe she's in her 60s or something.
Maybe she's interesting. Sort of got a quavering baby voice.
Yeah. They won't let, you can't call yourself baby in the US unless you are a baby.
Really? Okay. Is that illegal? That is absolute. Well, what happened with Baby Spice then?
Or look at Baby Ruth, right? That was Babe. Anyway, Baby Ruth is
so you're going opposite to Hannah?
Chocolate bar. No, I was going to say, okay, by the 20s, I bet she's in her 50s.
Okay, so similar to Hannah?
Yeah. I didn't listen to Hannah. What did you say?
She said 60.
Okay, you're going 50. I'm going to go a little bit under.
Oh, can I go 55?
Yeah, you can. Which actually officially makes Hannah the closest, but you're all wrong.
40.
She's between
80.
8 and 10 years old.
What? No!
How was I the closest? Oh, because I
50. They all went 55 and 60.
Oh, I went 60. Anyway, the point. Oh, really? She's an actual baby, so that law is real.
Hello. Yeah. The law that I said is real. Oh my God. That's another twist that you didn't even give us a heads up about.
Yeah.
How could she be singing as a baby? She is.
So
she's not 7 months old.
I literally say about like people in their late 20s now, I'm like, oh my God, she's a baby.
She's baby.
Yeah.
So she is a child star.
Oh my
Her
gosh.
Name is not ironic. She was born in 1919. We actually don't know when she died because she just went missing, which...
Oh, can you investigate that next time?
Yeah, like, I will tell you everything I know. So she led an incredible life for one so young. So baby Esther Lee Jones, who also she'd previously been billed as Little Esther, was a child entertainer from Chicago who was managed by her parents, Gertrude and William Jones. She was a trained scat singer, dancer and acrobat who used to perform regularly at nightclubs in Harlem and all over the United States in the early 1920s. Very pertinent information now. In her act, baby Esther would dance, make funny faces, roll her eyes and interpolated words such as boo-boo-boo, wah-da-da, doo-doo-doo, doo-dee-doo-doo-do-di-wah.
Are you going to do all of them? I love all of the sounds.
Read all of that phonetically.
A boo boo boo. That's
great. You're sincere.
You know, this is how.
A wah wah wah.
The origin of scatting is a white English woman reading phonetic letters, and then it just took off.
I mean, yeah. I basically proved this case.
But the eye roll, because I can remember there's a lot of eye rolling of the character.
Yeah, blinking and. Yeah.
Ask at this juncture.
Yeah,
I know who Betty Boop is, but I've never seen her as a cartoon. I don't know whether did we get it?
She had a renaissance in the 90s, but you're so young.
Oh my God, I'm so young. I'm like 7 or 8 years old.
She did. She was really popular in the 90s. Yeah. That's probably the only reason I knew.
I had like in the late 80s, I had a folder. Someone bought me folder with Betty Boop on it, like as a Christmas present.
What was her like? What was her shtick? I mean, you know Boop Boop Doop, but in a cartoon of Betty Boop.
So I will tell you a little, like the 30s cartoons are fucking disturbing.
Right.
Oh, really?
They're just so rapey. But the her character was that she was a kind of a bimbo with a heart of gold.
Okay.
So we like her.
Right, you know, right.
But it's in anyway.
Sorry. I was just like, realizing I don't know much about her.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
Because I'm so young.
So you can't remember the 30s.
Where is the rest of us?
What a blur.
So, baby Esther didn't just play America. She toured Europe. She went everywhere.
Oh my God.
She's amazing.
But when?
So, in the 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
So, by the late 20s, she's off to Europe.
And while she's gone, Helen Kane
kind of
steams
actually.
In. Really?
Well, yeah, the timing is interesting. Her career started at age 4 when she won a prize for a Charleston contest. Wow. And then Russian-American theatrical manager Lou Bolton saw her performance and got her. Good old Lou. He got a... Remember his name? He comes back in a sec.
Okay. I'm writing that down.
He got her engagements in Chicago, New York, Detroit, Toronto and other cities, after which he brought her to Europe. So Esther toured Europe in 1929 and became the highest paid child artist in the world.
Wow.
While touring Europe, she delighted audiences, including royalty. In Spain, she played for King Alfonso and Queen Victoria. In Sweden, King Gustav. People would come especially to see her in France, Germany. She did private performances for nobility. She played the Moulin Rouge in Paris.
Audiences, for a kid, you'd be like, I don't think I'd let my kid play the Moulin Rouge.
Oh, none of this makes any sense.
No, but she was like so talented. She's like this.
Imagine having the energy of an 8-year-old though and being on tour. That'd be amazing.
The press loved her. Parisian newspapers gave loads of space to her. She got loads of cover, like, pictures and stuff. And so she would sing, dance, do the splits, generally carry on. One of my sources said, generally carry on, to the great delight of her audiences. She was dubbed by somebody as too cute for words.
Can I point out the elephant in the room? That this just feels very exploitative, that you have this African-American girl.
Yeah.
Who's, yes, her parents are sort of managing her, but she's being sort of like, come with me and we'll put you on the stage for the white folks. And I don't know, it just feels really...
Yeah, I mean,
if you dig into the details of what that was like, I don't know, I just have a...
It's weird because like I read quite a lot of different things to do this case. And there is like, the 20s was kind of like a really booming time for... the singers and jazz and all of these things.
Cabaret,
it was, and then there was a horrible backlash, kind of a bit more again in the 30s. So it might have felt like, yay, this is the future now. We're like, everybody loves everybody again, but I don't know. Let's edit that out. I don't know.
No, it's fine. And like, I'm only speculating.
Well, no, I think you're absolutely right. But it definitely wasn't a crime. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? That it was a sort of, we're looking at it with our modern eyes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And my modern eyes are limited at that.
I mean, the only thing, she was thing. Getting paid properly. Like, yeah, she was the highest paid child.
It is, but you're right. Like, the exploiting of a child, like the YouTubers, I read an article that made me want to kill myself about the kid YouTubers, and their parents were all saying, they love it. And it's like, that the parents have gone, wow, okay, we can make a lot of money out of this.
And there's this issue of consent. Like, that's there forever.
Yeah,
and
exactly. You start off by going, oh my God, this is so cute. And the people love my cute kid on his new skateboard and whatever. And the kid's having fun. And then they're like, no, the kid's carrying on having fun. And now we're getting a lot more money. And it's just like, and then there's all these pictures of these kids looking really, really sad and being forced to, you know, unbox new toys and whatever. Like, oh, what stage does this become? Not okay. Age old.
I read a thing on Twitter. It was someone came from Reddit, I think, about a kid who was the kid of a mum influencer or whatever.
Right.
And like, basically he or she, I'm not sure what gender the kid was, but like, they were sort of a teenager now, and then they got a hoodie made specifically for them that said, no pictures or whatever. So basically, if they wore that, then their parents couldn't take pictures because it just looks really bad.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how far they went.
So she toured Europe. Everything's going brilliantly. She then toured South America. Question, did that go as well as her Europe tour?
I guess not.
You can guess whatever you like.
I mean, you're implying that it's...
I'm.
Well, either it went a lot better or a lot worse. And I feel like it didn't go a lot better.
Yeah, okay. Well, probably a lot worse, because I reckon this is where maybe Helen saw her.
You guys, the South America tour was also really successful.
Oh! You were leading us to say it was the same.
Conniving detective.
So she did Rio de Janeiro. The American ambassador came to see her play. He got her, came backstage to congratulate her. They thought it was great. She could speak all these languages too. Everybody knows how awesome Baby Esther is. We can get back to the court case. So in the late 1920s, Baby Esther is living her best life, being the best paid child star of the time. Enter Helen Kane. Question, did Helen Kane see Baby Esther perform?
Well, I'm guessing if this like made the whole court... show, that's not what it's called, case. This whole court show, everything's a show to me. I'm guessing if it derailed the court case, there must have been some evidence that she had seen her, because otherwise she would say, I've never seen this little girl. Yeah.
I think that maybe she was told about her, in the sense that I think sometimes if you see, because sometimes, you know, when you're like writing something and you're like I have a friend that uses a certain expression which I think is really, really funny, which I feel like I can't even say it now because it's like, I'll say what it is and then I'll say, but basically it's about the idea of if you spill some food down your top, it's called a dinner medal. And I thought, that's great. I was like, that's amazing. But then it's like, and I was like, oh, you know, writing something. And I was like, oh, this would be the perfect place for that. But for a start, I'm like, well, he said that. And secondly, I'm like, he's probably quoting it from another TV show.
Right.
So how, at what point do you know what is just like real life and what is... Yeah, what is people
quoting?
How
much evidence do you... Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it's hard when it comes to
investigation
things like
that. Do you do?
I think it's hard when it comes to stuff like that. I'm not sure it's as hard when it... I think this...
comes to literally stealing what she
feel
said.
Like there are grey areas, but I feel like this is not one of them.
So she did see her?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, in which case...
All bets are off. So she saw Baby Esther perform in 1928 in the Cotton Club in Harlem shortly before she suddenly started doing the scat singing herself.
Right.
So it's pretty fucking damning.
And she's white as well, right? Helen.
So Helen Kane is white, and Baby Esther is African-American.
Right. Just want...
So there's cultural appropriation as well as intellectual property theft.
Helen's doing the whole...
Yeah, because I can imagine Helen going, no. I say boop-boop-be-doop. Baby Esther only said boo-boo.
Yeah.
So I finish the thought and I win. Is it that sort of thing?
It's a really dark kind of
area. I don't think she's brave anymore.
Mm. Oh, it's sad, isn't it?
It's a good lesson.
She's the bad guy. But they're all bad guys.
They're all bad guys. No, Baby Esther.
Baby Esther's a good guy. Sort of. So basically, what happens now is the defense pivot from, no, it's coincidence, we didn't copy you, to, all right, fine, we copied you, but you copied someone else anyway. Like, that becomes their new defense.
So which, again, doesn't make them seem like the good guys, does it?
Yeah, so question now, how do you prove if someone has seen material that they then go on to nick for themselves?
I suppose it's even harder, like, in the sense that I went to a comedy show the other night and everyone was filming everything at all times. Right. So it's like, there was definitely evidence I was at that comedy show, for example.
Get away with it.
Yeah, which is fine because it's, you know, the young people and their phones. But back in the day, it's hard to sort of like, you know, unless you turn up to her house and find the kind of the ticket stub.
Yeah, did they search
her? Was there a witness?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
There is. That's, I was going to say, you're closer with the...
We call to the stand Helen's boyfriend. Paul Fezzagnaglin.
Lou Walton. Oh,
well done. Manager guy. So he was with Helen when she watched Baby Esther perform. So he turns up at the court case. And I mean, drama, right? So he testified during the Kane versus Fleischer trial that Helen Kane saw Baby Esther's Cabaret Act in 1928 with him and appropriated the renowned baby style of singing, changing the interpolated words like boo 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 and doo 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 to boo boo doop. And that there's a recording. Well, no, actually, so first of all, it's his word. I've completely given up. So basically.
But I can't remember really who Lou... So Lou is Baby Esther's...
Well, he's been a manager.
Yeah, okay.
So he's been getting her work and took her to Europe. But now he's back in America.
And he happened to be with Helen on the night that she was there.
I think he may have managed Helen for a brief period. Oh. I think he's just like one of those manager guys that hooks people up and gets money and stuff. Okay. So the defence is saying that she's not the owner of the intellectual property to begin with, and therefore they do not have to pay her money.
But wait, but they're not going to have to pay Baby Esther, are they?
Right, exactly. Oh, we will get to this. Lou's word alone was not enough to convince the judge. Also, it was just a judge. There was no jury. They only had to convince a judge. And this dragged on, this court case, from 1932 to 1934.
Wow.
Question, did Baby Esther come testify in court at any point?
Oh.
I thought you had said that she wasn't alive at this point. Or she disappeared.
Yeah.
Had she disappeared already?
She disappeared at this point.
Correct.
Oh my God.
This is sinister.
So, I mean, we just, like, it's so weird too. So she'd already gone missing at this point. Like, Lou had last seen her in Paris. And it's so weird too because she's so well documented for these years and then she just literally vanishes. And it's very difficult to find pictures of her online. I could only, like, there's loads of models online and saying this Baby Esther is what Baby Esther looked like and it's not her. There's only one actual picture of her as a child and she's with a man in blackface.
Ooh.
And it's really, like, disturbing. But so it's very difficult to trace her.
So were her parents managing her?
Yeah.
So where?
So I don't know if
what's happened to them.
If they're missing too, or if they're going to be easier to find. But basically, she didn't come to this court case, so they haven't got enough evidence. But then suddenly, Lou finds a recording of Baby Esther singing this song with all the scat stuff, predates Helen Kane. So they use this as evidence. Well, it proves that Baby Esther came up with it first. So what is the verdict on the case?
Well, I'm guessing that it's between Helen and Paramount. So it's basically they didn't steal it from Helen. That's what they were trying to find out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who came up with it to begin with, I suppose, for the sake of
that exact case. Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be in favour of Paramount at this point.
Okay.
Because Paramount didn't steal it. I mean, there's no evidence that they stole it from Baby Esther, which would be the new case.
Yeah.
Surely. But but then Baby Esther's not around to
stick up for herself.
Yeah, and say, all right, I'm suing for that then.
Yeah. You guys are correct. It was case dismissed. The judge...
I feel really sad about this.
Yeah.
I feel really gutted.
A really horrible example of
horribleness.
Yeah. It's a horrible example of horribleness. It's another good catchphrase for you, Katie.
Let me be the first to say, guys, this is bad. But yeah, the plaintiff had failed to sustain a cause of action that
Paramount must have been delighted.
Yeah.
Delighted to find out she'd stolen
it. Yeah, so it didn't originate with her, so they didn't have to pay her any money.
I bet they paid the person to stand up in court. I bet they knew and they put a little pawn there and said, like, when we show this, we'll give you the signal.
You stole it.
Yeah.
Question, did Baby Esther or her family ever get any compensation for coming up with...
No.
I mean,
I'd love to be wrong.
Me too. I would be delighted if it turned out, but you know, people don't get justice these days, let alone.
I know, right? Completely. Hannah, any?
Unfortunately, I think it's not going to be good.
Sadly, you guys are correct.
Right.
They just
did. They ever find her?
No. So she literally.
So she might be around today.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, in theory.
She'd be like 109.
She's like last recorded as like 13 years old in like Europe. And then that's it. Like the trail.
And was it around? There's no like evidence of foul play of this case.
Yeah, is it connected? I mean, I know, right? Because that's. You kind of start thinking stuff like
because it's like Taylor was saying, that's such a massive amount of money. Like, it's clearly a really big deal.
Yes, it's a really big deal. There's no evidence of that.
Mm. Yeah.
But, like, there's no evidence of anything for her after this point. Question, did Helen Kane ever admit that she stole her act from Baby Esther?
Oh, very good question. Mm. I feel like she'd be so incensed that she didn't win the court case that she's not going to lower herself.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So you know, like, this was all working against me.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she does. But again, happy to be wrong.
There's not much compelling her to say,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Well, presumably she was still trying to have a career and
that out. So you guys are correct. She never publicly admitted stealing her act. And actually, it's interesting you say she's still trying to have a career, because one of the theories that I was reading about in this is that the reason that she might have been trying to sue at this exact point was that her star was falling. And also
needs the money,
like the crash. So she, like the flappers in the 20s, they were suddenly out of fashion in the more brutal 30s, and her style was seen as more unfashionable. And it was much harder for her to get paid work singing and dancing at the level that she wanted. And so she may very well have just thought, oh, I'll sue Paramount, that's my pension.
Like,
there's an argument that could have been her plan. I do slightly get this sense that Helen Kane could be one of those kind of like borderline psychopathic comedians that's just so determined to succeed, you know, like they'll just trample anyone.
She's still doing open spots today.
Like, just like doesn't but also have the morality.
Yes, exactly. But also there's that thing of just sort of not really feeling like she has done anything wrong, you know, just that sort of, you know how some people go, well, jokes, they just sort of belong to the world, don't they? You know,
entitlement. Yeah. She's entitled.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. It's a kind of, but this works and it's great.
Yeah. And you know, I saw it, so why shouldn't I do it?
It's a victimless crime.
In a way, I think the Betty Boop makes more sense. Also, when you know also the history of jazz and everything, but like, also she's based on a child star, because the whole thing about Betty Boop is she's got this giant baby head and then this sexy body. So it's kind of like a weird contradiction. Like, she's not based on a grown-up lady. Like, she's something else. And Betty Boop went on to be one of the best known and popular cartoon characters in the world, the innocent bimbo with a heart of gold. Question, have you guys seen any of the 1930s cartoons of Betty Boop?
Well, I haven't.
I feel like I've seen snippets. I feel like I've seen the stocking tops and a bit of a dance and
just little clips.
I mean, literally everyone that's listening to this, I'm gonna go home and YouTube it and find out.
100%. She's in Roger Rabbit, isn't she? She sells cigarettes in Roger Rabbit. I think that's what I'm picturing, and I think that's all, apart from pictures, that's all I've seen.
That's part of her renaissance,
which is really great that her career lasted. Like, I don't think she was getting work before them, but at least, you know,
before they
I think she was nominated for that as well, which is really nice.
cartoon awards.
Yeah.
So these 30s cartoons.
The Noskers.
Are fucked up. Like, Betty is just constantly trying to escape sexual harassment. There's a cartoon where her landlord like finds her so sexy that he just wants to have sex with her, and like the bed floats away to kind of help Betty out.
Oh my god.
And then like someone comes and rescues her. There's like one where a circus master, a ringmaster, like tries to rape her, and another one someone else comes and rescues her, and she's just like so sexy and doesn't get it, and like,
oh my god, so she's like the Madonna whore both together.
It's disturbing. Gross. But basically, Betty Boop's Me Too story would take down a lot of 1930s Hollywood.
Yeah.
So one nice thing. There's one nice thing.
Oh, in the world. Come on. Oh, finally, Katie.
It's not nice enough to make up for the story, but it is still nice.
Okay.
Baby Esther Lee Jones was honored along with Josephine Hall in 1930 for representing African Americans and the United States of America when she toured Europe.
So she
got a tiny bit of recognition
when she was the country still around before she disappeared.
Yeah, she was 13. And then she was written out of the story and became a hidden figure until 2014 when black media outlets started, like, they followed this Betty Boop check source, and then the story went viral. So now much more people know about Baby Esther, and she is officially cited as the original scat singer who inspired Helen Kane to scat sing, and some people call her Betty Boop's black grandmother. But really, she should be called Betty Boop.
Yeah, like, she's Betty Boop. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Cheers!
Which feels wrong. We should be saying sorry to Baby Esther.
Drunk women solving crime.
I have a crime that was sent in. It says, my son was laughing about willies in the bath. I'm assuming this is an infant son.
Some drunk teenager. I can hear him in there just laughing at willies,
looking at his own and laughing.
Explained body parts are named, and he said no because, she was talking about how body parts are named, and he said no because boobies go flippy floppy wibbly wobbly when women run. And I asked, who told you that? And he said Auntie Layla, and she is adamant that she did not tell him. So I guess the crime is, who told this lady's son that boobies go flippy floppy wibbly wobbly when women run? Is it Auntie Layla? Is she in denial? Or is there a...
What if this was actually a crime?
This kid needs to go to jail. This is outrageous.
Especially because he's 22.
Yeah, what word would you believe Auntie Layla over the little boy?
I almost feel like that's the sort of thing a little boy would make up. But
yeah, oh yeah, and panicking
go
going...
Wibbly wobbly, floppy.
And do you think maybe Auntie Leela's got previous, like...
Oh, she's the naughty auntie.
She says inappropriate things, it's believable, and he's cottoned on to that even though he's four or whatever.
I'm so desperate for my brothers to have children, so I can just, like, be the cool auntie that actually everyone's like...
You think the cool auntie?
The cool auntie that says flippy, flobbly, wibbly, 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 wibbly.
I mean, that's funny
that's
to a kid.
4-year-olds.
Wibbly, wobbly, flibbly, flobbly, boobies.
But it's true, because it's not very accurate. It's my detective.
Yeah.
Very arrogant over there.
Yeah, okay.
Flippity floppity sounds
Margaret
like they're really
firm
sort of
tits over
flat,
here.
That they're flattened. That's just not, you know.
No, I know.
Not the noises that I
hashtag
I
not
do.
My tits. Yeah.
I think we need to know more about Auntie Layla's physique, frankly.
Yes.
Maybe that's a great description for hers.
Yeah, we need some more help with some other questions.
Please send in a photo of Auntie Layla's.
I do love it though. Like, I love the idea. Auntie Layla didn't say that, but the kid knew that Auntie Layla like had a vibe that the mum would believe. Yeah. Auntie Layla said that.
Yeah, yeah, because it could just as equally be that. And I respect this kid.
Yeah.
This kid is a genius.
No, you see, I feel like that's a kid's version of what boobies do.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if he doesn't think it, then some kid said to him, boobily doob.
You think it might not even be another adult.
Yes.
It's like literally this kid, and then he doesn't want to be in trouble.
So no, and he doesn't want to rat out his
throwing
friend.
Throwing mud at the nearest
auntie.
Believable. Yeah.
It's believable auntie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my guess.
Okay. Your son is a delinquent.
Or a liar.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to our show. We respect it. And come again.
yeah, but genuinely, like, he's not a delinquent.
He's got a great sense of humour. I mean, come on.
He's
going to
be a comedian this
year. That's
funny.
Real ladies' man someday.
That's a curse enough.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
More cheersing.
And well, thanks, we have guys. Just enough time to talk to Margaret now. What are you up to? What would you like to plug? Tell us.
I would like to plug my podcast,
oh, yeah.
Do the Right Thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Very good podcast.
Which you all need to come and do.
Yes, please. Look how that worked out. Really...
I know that's why I'm here.
God, finally.
So is it why you're here? That's not even a real case. Katie made that all up.
Do the Right Thing, and that's your podcast about Hitler, right?
Yeah. I mean, he comes up a lot. Big fan, guys, big fan. I shouldn't even joke about it. You can't
no,
even
it's
joke
not,
about
it's
that.
Not. Like, 100% really, really, joking, just yeah. so everybody knows. Jesus.
Follow Margaret on Twitter to
yeah,
find out.
On Twitter. Yes. MK Bourne Smith. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to do that really annoying thing of building up to an announcement that then doesn't really happen. Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yay!
Absolute pleasure. I've loved it. Thank you. Thank you for all the booze.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Where's my finger?
Where's my finger?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.